to look at the Sabbath. So this is where we left off last week. We were talking about Yeshua and what he did on Shabbat. And so there'll be no slides. That's part of the fun. But I want you to know that the paper you have in front of you is a lot of work that went into that. So if I was doing a study myself to prepare for church, what you're going to get handed to you is exactly what I do in every subject. I go to every verse that I can find on the subject and see why is it there. Why did he write it that way? So before we get started, I got sick this week. I'm about over it, so I can talk a little bit. So I told Brother Josh, he's in the lane, ready for I'm gonna hand the baton to him when I can't go no more. So the reason I want to take some time to have it, I thought several ways on how we should do this. We were looking at, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks or so, but we're looking at one question. You have 10 weeks of papers that are going to be handed out to you, one a week. So we can answer that one question. The question is, should we keep Sabbath? Should Christians keep Sabbath? That's a great question because we haven't been. So we did the switch. Now, before we did the switch, I went through the study I'm handing you 3 to 4 times. I mauled over that thing, trying to say, you know, I'm trying to find why we shouldn't. Because after I got the first time, I realized that's going to be my easiest way out. If I try to figure out why we shouldn't do it, that'll be the easiest thing. And if anybody gives an argument to you about the Sabbath, ask them to read this 200-and-something-page document that we put together so you can have it. You'll have it in coming increments. I do have it live, but I thought about if I post it live, and I still can do it for you, I want to eliminate the questions on lesson 2 when I'm still doing lesson 1. Because if you go ahead of what we're doing, you're going to have questions, and we don't have time to answer the questions on lesson 4 when we're still doing lesson 2. Does that make sense? So that's why I figured if we could print it this way, give you 2 lessons today. Now, what we've been doing, preparing for this, the last 2 Shabbat starts on Friday evening. We've sat down, 3 Shabbats, and the last 3 Shabbats, we sat down and we did a reading, each section. I took a reading, Charlotte took a reading, Philip took a reading, on what we're going over this morning. I thought, well, you know what, that's going to really help. So if I give you the printout for next week, come Friday, that's what you should do for Shabbat. That should be your reading. Of course, you do your normal reading, but if you're going to have your extra reading, it should be the lesson that's going to happen the next morning, okay? So bear with us. We didn't realize it would take as long as it would to put it together, but this is a lot of stuff. This is no small handout. This is how you study a subject. This is how you study a subject. So you'll learn a lot of things through this, and we're excited about doing it. So if I'm going to get through, I think you have 23 pages in front of you. It's back in front, so it don't seem that many. If we're going to get through 23 pages, we better read, right? So I wish I could just say, why don't we take our time and we'll just read slow. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll try to answer it. I'm not going to be able to do that in our Shabbat service. I just got to read through. If you have a question, write it down. It's your paper. It belongs to you. That's your paper. If you want to be well-versed on how to answer anybody about Shabbat services versus Sunday services, this will do it for you. This will definitely do it. You won't have to worry, well, I'll pastor or something. You got this paper in your hand, you are pastor. Because that's exactly what I would say. Now you got to go over it. This would make my fifth or sixth time going over this. Not to mention putting the verses together. That takes, you don't realize how far you go in context, reading the verse before and the verse back, where do you stop, what verse you put in, what verse you leave out. And so it's a lot of stuff to do. But last night, first let me get everybody to say, I'm listening. Because when I do it for myself, if I don't listen, I won't have nothing to say when I get up here. And you know what? I don't want to be embarrassed. Nor do I want to embarrass God, because I'm his representative. So I'm not going to get up here and embarrass him because I didn't prepare. So I want to make sure you're listening, because what you have in front of you is the introduction to why, or what he says about the Sabbath, starting from the very beginning going through. But last night, we were reading it again. This is how good God is. And this will happen from time to time. We're reading it again, and this verse of scripture came to me while we were reading it. Just popped up in my mind, so I put it in there. So everything I'd already done to send the print, I'd already printed several copies at the house. We had to, they have them copies, I think. So somebody might have it, you won't have this in it. Because that's how it works. You're going along, God said, this will be important for people to read right here. So it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse starting with verse 9. Now fear God and keep his commandments. You got to fear Elohim and keep his commandments. Whose commandments are we trying to keep? His. Remember that, his. We got to keep something. If we don't keep his commandments, then we're going to keep our own or somebody else's, whoever's your guru. You'll find a guru, you'll find a book, whatever it is, and you'll read that book and you say, well, I'll go off of this book. Whatever it is, you're going to keep it. Well, let's listen to what he says. In verse 9, it says, and besides being wise, Koheleth, now the word Koheleth is an interesting word. Because it simply means preacher. So I'm going to just put preacher in place of Koheleth because it's exactly what it means. So Koheleth, if they said Koheleth, then they knew exactly what was being said. So they understood that. It says, and besides being wise, Koheleth, a preacher, also taught the people knowledge. What did the preacher teach? Knowledge. And he was what? He was wise. Besides being wise, he taught knowledge. And he listened and sought out, set in order many proverbs. Why did he have to set them in order? Because the proverbal language was getting mixed up. There was a reason for it. Why? What was the reason for the proverbs getting mixed up? Because they had already started to disseminate into the Goyim, into the nations. And they were losing track of respect of Yahweh's commands. And you can't do that. So what was the job, reason Ecclesiastes was even written? It's because Solomon came along and he built the house of God. He said, how long are you going to have this and not build my house? And he told David that. Well, let's go on. Now, Koheleth, a preacher, sought to find out words of delight. He sought out to find words of delight. What's words of delight? What is that? Everybody say truth. Truth. You got to seek truth. Nonsense is all around us. The lie is all around us, but you got to seek truth. So he's words of delight and words of truth. Rightly written. Rightly written. Think about that. Verse 11, and words of wise are like gourds and as nails driven by the master. So the gourd is strong. If you've ever had one that was given to you by someone, these things are strong. Sometimes they put beads in them. How many's ever seen that? When I was a kid, somebody had given one and the thing lasts forever. You can beat stuff with it. But they'll maybe drill a hole and put some beads in it. You can use it as a rattle. But this is very strong. So he's making a reference here of what's strong, or to nail. If you nail something down, is it stronger or to leave it unnailed? Right? If you board your house up during a storm, you say, I'm just lean it. It's a good intention. You covered the window, but you leaned it. What if you nailed it? Makes a difference, right? So he's giving a reference on something that's lasting. He says, the words of the wise are like gourds, and as nails driven by whom? The master of collections. How many believe the master knows what volumes and words need to be collected in order for us to hear it? What if there's other collections? Which they are. It's going to tell us. They were given by one shepherd. Not two. Not three. One shepherd. They were given by one shepherd. What were they like? They were like nailing it down. They were as tough as gourds. It was strong. It could be beaten by the east wind, the gourd. It looked like it's dead. It looked like it's dead. There's nothing living here. That thing's alive. Because it lasts. And beside this, my sons, be warned, in making of many books has no end. That's the age we're in now. Everybody say now. That's where we are now. There's a lot of books being made. But there's only one shepherd who nailed down the collections that we need to listen to. How many understand that? And you can go with anybody you want, but I'm going with the one shepherd on this. Somebody say, thank God for the preacher. Every now and then you got to repeat that stuff to yourself three times. Beside these, my sons, be warned, the making of many books has no end, and much study is a wearying of the flesh. Oh boy. You said, I don't mean a whole lot to me. It means a lot to me because I had one of our friendly brothers tell me that one time. Well, brother, you got to watch you don't study too much. It'll weary you. In Ecclesiastes, it says that. So you know me. I went to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to say, well, let's see what else it says. If it says that, we better go look at it, huh, brother? How many of you know that didn't turn out too good? Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion. You might want to put this up because I'm trying to yell. There we go. Let us hear the conclusion. Is that better? Of the entire matter. How much of it? It's entire. So I'm asking you. We're just giving you the page today. We're going to listen to the whole thing. At the end. I was sharing this with Pastor Josh this morning. When we're done. If you want to go back. Bye. I'm going to tell you bye now. Because you, I can tell you. Ain't a thing I can tell you. This took a lot of time. And let me tell you, it is well thought out so we can see exactly how he nailed it down. One shepherd nailed the collections and said, this is just what it is. And it was little words. I noticed after all this study, it was just a few little words, probably a handful, that were mistaken is the reason why society is where it's at. You can get the most of it in church and miss a few words and be so far off, you don't know if you're going or coming. So he says, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. We should do that at every level. If you're going to talk about whatever subject it is, hear the whole thing. Fear Elohim. This is a good part right here. Guard his commands, for this applies to all mankind. Now, that's one of my favorite parts. Because somebody told me, said, well, if you're going to keep the Shabbat, that means you're Jewish. I said, well, you're wrong. Because Shabbat applies to all mankind. It don't matter if you're Jewish, if you're Cajun, or whatever else you want to call yourself. It applies to all mankind. Remember, what applies? The collection that's been nailed down, as tough as gourds. It's endured. For Elohim shall bring every work unto right ruling. He's going to bring every work into right ruling, including, just in case we might not think that what he's saying, including all that is hidden. There's a lot of stuff hidden in a lot of books out there that we don't need. It's hidden in there. Whether good or whether evil. How many see that? All right. Well, that was our first scripture. The introduction. Society has undergone astonishing changes in recent decades. Everyone, it seems, lives his or her life at a breakneck pace, constantly rushing here and there to get everything done. I mean, I would agree with that. Yeah. Technological advances that once promised more leisure time now seems only to push us further behind, making it even more difficult to catch up. So we frantically scramble. We feel out of touch with our spouse, out of touch with our family, out of touch with the world around us, and perhaps, most of all, out of touch with Yahweh. The very being who created this universe, and every one of us gave us an inspired revelation, the instructions and truth of Yahweh. That's what I was making a reference to just a moment ago. He gave us this wonderful revelation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed all those wishing to live reverently in Messiah Yeshua, live reverently in Messiah Yeshua, shall be persecuted. Listen, if you just kind of want to hang out with him, they're not going to tell you much. But the moment you say, why don't we walk the line? That's where the persecution is going to come, because you don't have to do that. Because if they agree with what you're doing, means they have to do it. And we're not ready. We're not ready for change. But listen, you can't let that stop you. You still have to do it. So watch what he says. But evil men, what does he call them? Evil men. What should we call them? Evil men. That's a problem, right? Y'all don't mind me saying it, but you won't say it. Some of you will. If you do, hallelujah. And imposters, what he calls them? Evil and imposters shall go on to the worse, leading astray and being led astray. But you, I mean, you're still with me here. But you stay in what you have learned and trusted. What you have learned and trusted, having known from whom you have learned. And that from a babe you have known the set apart scripture. From a babe you've known the set apart scripture, which are able to make you wise for deliverance through belief in Messiah Yeshua. All scripture is breathed out by Elohim. Isn't that inspired? And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instruction in righteousness. How many believe we need to have teaching? What about reproof? What's reproof? What is that? What is reproof? You know, if somebody checks something that was already done, there's been a check on it. It's not proof for the first time, because then we just call it proof. But it's re, meaning it already happened. So we're going to do it a second time. Well, let's reproof it. I mean, you know, that's important. You think God minds that you reproof? He don't mind. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. Let me tell you what I used to do when I first started pastoring. I knew I was up against it because I had some learning disabilities. I was in remedial reading. I was in special education. So I knew I was up against it. I had a hard time spelling, hard time reading at my level, my grade. But I hit it well, so it was fine. But I knew I was up. You can't hide it when you get in the real world. You can get a grade or whatever. So you get out of it, and you're done. Whew, I'm glad that's over with. But then the Lord calls me in the ministry, and I go, okay, now what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm up against it. How am I going to get past this? Well, what I do, I'd read it 50 times before I get up and preach. So that's a little extra, huh? I need it extra. I kept that habit. If I was going to read a text, that was going to be my text, I read it 50 times before I got up. Over and over and over. I kept reading it, and I inundated myself with it. And through that, the Lord taught me how to read the Bible. You understand? This is important. If you want something, you can get it. But you can't just want it and hope to have it, but never put the effort in. You have to put the effort in. It's for reproof and teaching, reproof for setting straight. I mean, thank God we get set straight. For instruction in righteousness. Now, let me just deal with setting straight there because this is important. I know I'm covering some of these verses because this is the introduction. Setting straight, the word is built for setting straight. What most people want is somebody to tell them something so they can have an argument back to them. You should never wait for that. You have already lost the argument once you heard the word. You heard the word. If that didn't do it for you, if I tell you to do it, it just gives you another person to argue with. If it sets you straight, you got to admit to it. You got to repent and move on because it's only going to get worse. It just gets that way. You have to. When you do that, it changes your life forever. For instruction in righteousness. I mean, no, we need instruction in righteousness. That the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. John 17, verse 13. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world, so that they have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. What did he give? The word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world as I am not of the world. There's a different system that he operated in. He said, I don't operate in this system. This is a corrupt, vile, evil system. I don't operate in that. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. That's a strange thing because he's praying about this. I don't pray for that prayer. But that you keep them from the wicked one. Wow. They are not of the world as I am not of the world. Don't think about that. That's what you have to realize by faith. That's why we have to have faith. You have to realize he's not of the world. I'm not of the world. Now, in our mind, growing up as kids, well, we thought that okay, we're not of this place, so there's another place we're a part of. It's a system. Not geographic, system. It's a book, a set of books, a collection of books. And we're to take our instructions from those books. We're to lay down everything else. We just, you know, somebody tells me, hey, man, y'all ought to come over. We just started so-and-so's book. It's so good. I said, well, I ain't time to get on that book. I'm still on the book. And it's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you understand? I have no idea what people's talking about. Well, I don't know what I'm going to preach next week. What you mean you don't know what you're going to preach? I know what I'm going to preach for every week of this 2020 year. You understand? You're not going to have enough time. That's how amazing God is. When you realize how important this collection is. And they are not of the world as I'm not of the world. Set them apart in your truth. What sets us apart? In his truth. It sets us apart. Your word is truth. So if we're going to have any kind of set apartness, it's going to be through the word. So that's going to be what we'll look at. That revelation, the Holy Scripture, tells us what we need to know about life's purpose, why we are here and where we are headed. Most importantly, it tells us how to live. It tells us that thousands of years ago, Yahweh gave a people a set of laws, promising these people that they would be blessed if they kept them. Deuteronomy 5:33. Walk in all the ways which Yah, your Elohim, has commanded you, so that you live and be well with you, and you shall prolong your days in the land which you possess. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Prolong your days in the land. The law of Yahweh revealed is summed up in the Ten Commandments. They are our basic guide for living, showing us how to have a proper relationship with our Creator and our fellow man. How many of you know we need work on that? How many of you know our relationships to others is there's a lot of bias in relationship to others? That's just what it is. And don't be mad at yourself. That's how we're built. We're built for family. And so family goes out so far, and then the circle, you don't see the line anymore. You're only focused on what's important to you. And so we can learn to live and grow biases when it comes to our fellow man. And it can cross all sorts of lines that God's not pleased with, color lines, ethnic lines, language lines. It can cross it can cross social lines. It can cross monetary lines. And he warns us often about that. Don't do that. People, remember he gave the parable, if a guy comes in and he's dressed well, we want to give him the front seat. Guy walks in, he's a dead being, got nothing. We don't even talk to him. He said, the word teaches us how to communicate with our fellow man. That's important to God. Among those commands, the one most universally misunderstood and misapplied is Yahweh's instruction to remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. Now, that's what we're here for. So over the next whatever weeks, it'll be weeks. It ain't gonna be day. It ain't gonna be next week we're gonna finish. It's gonna take some time. So our next handout, I think your next handout will be to page 44. The next one will go to the 20 pages, if we can. There's a lot to talk about, especially when it gets down to the end. Some of them you won't get many pages, because you won't get through those, especially when we deal with the scripture that I get told about. There's about three of them, of why we shouldn't do it. I'm going to let them give me their three. I can finish their three in about 15 minutes, and I'll give them mine, which takes me about 12 weeks. And they have to cipher through them. Well, there'll be no, the energy is lost at that. Well, you know, it's the way we've been doing it. That's kind of how it ends. Exodus 20, verse 8 is that, remember the Shabbat. Many people view the Sabbath as a quaint relic of history. Perhaps a nice idea at some time in the past, but altogether impractical in today's busy world. Because the very first thing I encountered is dealing with how we adjust work. Listen, that ain't God's problem. That's our problem. And we created that one. So let's not put that on him. Let's just do what we can to make the necessary changes that pleases him. That's the goal, right? We had to do it with a lot of other things. But I'm going to show you, we're going to connect how many believe Passover is important. It's so exciting because that's our next one. The Passover is going to be that beginning of a new year for us.
Yes.
It's going to be incredible. But that's important to us now. All of them are important. But the Sabbath is an appointed time too. It's a moed. It's my time with Yahweh and Yahweh's time with me. And he's not giving his part up. I can if I want. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I wish I could explain it to you in a few words how important this is. And hopefully you'll get it as we go through this. Somebody's on page 4. Some think the Sabbath is Sunday, and that spending an hour or two at church on Sunday morning fulfills the intent of the Sabbath. Others think Messiah Yeshua did away with the specific day of rest or the need to worship on a particular day, and that whatever time we choose to revere Yahweh is holy. The questions and opinions about this commandment, it seems, are endless. Did Yeshua keep the Sabbath because he was Jewish? Or did he break the Sabbath command, leading the religious leaders of his day to want to kill him? Did the Apostle Paul, in writing more books of the New Testament than any other writer, show that the Sabbath is no longer necessary for Christians? Did Yahweh sanctify the Sabbath at that time he created Adam and Eve, or did he first set it apart as holy time at the Exodus more than 2,000 years later? Think about that question. Did he set it apart during Adam and Eve's time, or did he wait 2,000 years later and set it apart when he gave the commands? In Exodus 20, verse 11, 12, the stuff like that, 8. Think about that. What you think? Did he sanctify it then, or did he wait? Was the Sabbath changed from the seventh day of the week to another day? And if so, when? Was it changed? Like somewhere in the Bible we're going to find where it was changed. There's a verse, there's a chapter, somewhere it's got to be, because this is a big deal. It's a big deal. It was always the seventh day, and then all of a sudden it changed to the first day. Where did that happen? It's got to be in the Bible. We're going to find it. If it's in the Bible, we got to find it. Thus said Yahweh, change Sabbath day, seventh day rest to first day rest. That would be hard for me to fight against. That'd be really tough. I'd come across that verse and I went, okay, I'd have gave you a one-page handout. So here we go. Why did Yeshua command a day of rest to begin with? Why did he command a day of rest? And remember, it is a command. When did he have a purpose for it? And if so, what is that purpose? Now, I know I'm going over these questions. There are a lot of them. And I'm going to answer every one of them in time through the lesson. So you just go back and we'll look at them one at a time. Is Sabbath relevant at all for humankind today? Because that's a big thing. It don't apply today. Matter of fact, Us Christians, we're trying to get them Seventh-day Adventists and all them other ones doing that Sabbath worship. We're trying to get them converted. So we on a conversion list now. How many know what it means to be on a conversion list? Does it make sense in today's world to keep Shabbat? Does it make sense in today's world? The questions go on and on. Why should there be such confusion about one of the 10 basic guiding principles and laws Yahweh gave mankind? Why is there such controversy and confusion over this one commandment when most people, including religious leaders in their churches, have little quarrel with the other nine? Wouldn't that seem odd? One out of the nine he changed. Wouldn't that be odd? That would be really odd. You don't have to look far to discover the answers to these questions. They can be found. Now you're going to write this down because this is some deep stuff. They can be found in the pages of the Bible. Wow. In history, in this booklet, we will address these basic questions. Join us now for a journey through the scripture to discover Yahweh's Sabbath rest. That's the introduction. Maybe I should have just done the introduction today. Okay. So now we got our first title. So, you know me. If I'm going to talk about a subject, I want to go back to where? There you go. That's a smart place to start. At the beginning. So, you know, I'm talking to people. Say, oh, I see y'all change y'all's. Yeah. Well, what do you think about what Paul said? It don't really matter because I'm still dealing with what Yah said. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make sure Paul's correct. By the time I get to Paul, we're going to find out. Amen. The Sabbath in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. How many of you know that's important? So anyway, the guy's on the video and he says, he was asked the question, should Christians keep Sabbath? He said, well, in Colossians. I went, say what? In Colossians? Is he out of his mind? You're going to answer that question and start with Colossians. That's pretty crazy. So what about what everything else God said? What does that matter? And don't give me the all scriptures given by inspiration of God. You just eliminated it all, and you went to the little sliver in the back of the book, and you pulled out one verse, two verses, 16 and 17 of Colossians 2. And you're gonna say, no? Serious. Did a whole hour study on Colossians. Well, I did more than an hour study on Colossians, but it's way less than 8 or 9 somewhere. So you got to wait for it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their array. And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And Elohim blessed. Now this seventh day was a special day. It was a special day. Everybody needs to realize, we're talking about the Sabbath day. You got to understand it was a special day because he blessed this day. He blessed the seventh day, and he did something else. He made it holy. Now, I better carry that comment with me to Colossians when he's talking to the most heavily inundated Gnostic church of his time. That's who Paul was talking to. And I'll deal with that because Gnosticism was terribly running rampant then. They were mixed up with all sorts of belief systems. Nothing in the flesh mattered to them. You weren't nothing. It's all spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. And they lost sight of what they needed. Anyway, he's addressing some hard language he uses. Which Peter tells us, be careful when Paul addresses things like that, because if you're not careful, you'll take his words and twist them to your own delusion. You know what I do when I read Paul? I'm very careful, because he told me to be. Because on it he rested from all his work which Elohim created and had made. Isn't that amazing? When we think of the Sabbath, we often think of the Ten Commandments, which Yahweh gave when Israel left Egypt under the leadership of Moses. The event of that period in Israel's history, the Exodus, were extraordinary. The plagues on Egypt, the death of all Egyptian firstborn, the parting of the Red Sea, manna coming from heaven, Yahweh giving Moses the Ten Commandments on stone tablets, were all miraculous occurrences. These events were dramatic testimonies to the birth of a new nation. And in the midst of these incredible beginnings, Yahweh told his new nation to remember something. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He commanded his people in Exodus 28. He pointed them back to what? Creation. He pointed them back to creation. So, and just in case we wouldn't know how to read or take the law that he's just now given, just in case, what does he do? He puts in the 10 words, remember the Sabbath. Remember it. Keep it holy. Don't forget the Sabbath. It's very important. Reminding them that in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all which is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. On account of this, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it in verse 11. That's what he did. And the Sabbath commandment had an important spiritual purpose. It pointed Yahweh's people to him as their creator. It was a required weekly remembrance that there is a higher power and authority at work in our lives and the lives of all humanity. Yahweh intended that the Sabbath be observed as a reminder of that fact. Sabbath revealed by miracles. The Sabbath revealed by miracles. Let's go through this. The significance of the Sabbath was evident before Yahweh gave the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel. For example, a few weeks earlier, after crossing the Red Sea, when the Israelites witnessed the destruction of Pharaoh's army, Israel entered the vast desert wilderness of Sinai Peninsula. Within a few days, the Israelites' food supplies brought with them from Egypt were exhausted. And the children of Israel said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Yah in the land of Mitzrayim, when we sat by the pot of meat and when we ate bread to satisfaction, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to put all this assembly to death with hunger." Exodus 16:3. However, Yahweh was already a step ahead of them. He promised to send manna. And I'm going to show you how this links together. A miraculous substance to nourish and sustain them as long as they were in the wilderness. Let's look at Exodus 16, verse 3. "And Yah said to Moshe, 'See, I am raining bread from heaven for you.'" When I was doing this study and I read that part, that stuff like that just excites me. We're not talking about giving just a little. How many hear what's going on outside? He said, "I'm raining manna from heaven." When Yah gives, he gives all. Not just enough, more than enough. But don't take it all, take what you need. I'm just showing you how big I am, how awesome I am. Just take what you need, because as sure as I rain, I dry the thing up. Isn't that amazing? "So I'm raining bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion." How much? A day's portion every day. Now here's the thing. He's trying to teach them to work. You know, if you're a guy that don't want to work too much, You say, I'm going to hit it hard. I'm going to hit it hard today, so I ain't got to go tomorrow. So you trying to get 2 days portion, and so you ain't got to go. You kick back, and the Lord says, that ain't how it works. Because the way it works, 6 days, you're going to work. I mean, you know that you'll teach yourself bad habits. And you don't want to have them habits, because they'll come back and really get you. So he says, you take a day's portion. Let's look at the lesson here. It's a wonderful lesson. He says, every day, in order to try them, whether they would walk in my Torah or not. Because if you hadn't eaten for a while and it rains bread, you take it all you can. You know you are, especially if you got children. If you got kids, you gather, and you hadn't eaten for a while. They saying stuff like, did he take us out here to kill us by hunger? And then he rains bread. And he says, take enough for today only. You're going through all kinds of emotions. What is he talking about? You shouldn't have rained so much. You raking it in. You want it. But he said, to try them, to see if they would just obey him. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Wow. He's teaching another lesson. Excuse me. And Moshe and Haran said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that Yah has brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim. Wow. You'll know. And in the morning you shall see the esteemed of Yah, for he hears your grumblings against Yah. Who's he? He hears them grumbling against who? Him. They're not complaining against, they complaining against Yah. The one that created them, the one that just rained, man. And what are we that you grumble against us? And Moshe said, in that Yah gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to satisfaction, for Yah hears your grumblings, which you make against him. What? And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against Yah. And Moshe said to Haran, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yah, for he has heard your grumblings. And it came to be as Haran spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness and see the esteem of Yah appeared in the cloud. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, I have heard the grumblings of my children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the evenings you are to eat meat. And in the morning you shall be satisfied with bread. And you shall know that I am Yah your Elohim. And it came to be that quail came up at the evening and covered the camp. Now, this wasn't just a covey, right? Does everybody understand that? He's feeding a large number of people here, a large number of people. So if we took, let's say, LSU Stadium holds how many people? 100,000? So let's do that 10 times. Fill it 10 times and put all of them in the wilderness, no grocery stores. No grocery stores. And you complaining because you're hungry, and somehow they look toward and they see the esteem of Yah, the glory of God in a cloud. And they're looking at it. And he says, Moshe, tell the people, in the evening I'm going to send them quail, not a cubby. They was deep as a man's knee, 3 foot deep. How you like to be walking in 3 foot deep of quail? You think by now you got it. This is not ordinary. It's not ordinary. And then all of a sudden you get up in the morning, it's raining like you hear outside, and it's bread. It's not ordinary. He's trying to show his people how amazing he is. And when he says, remember Shabbat, he means it. So, again, we have to cover all this because you can't just say, well, I just want to read the Shabbat verses if you don't mind. This is the Shabbat verses. Nobody wants to read them all. I love reading them all. Now, so it came in the evening, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all over the camp. And a layer of dew went up to see, and see, on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw it, and they said to each other, what is it? Now, these people were very familiar with grain. So they knew about grain. They knew what it took to get grain. They knew what it took to grind the grain, remove the chaff, and get it to a flour. They knew about grain. And this wasn't ordinary. This is something different. What is it? That's why they asked. For they did not know what it was. And Moshe said to them, it is bread which Yah has given you to eat. Wow. And this is the word which Yah has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, an omer for each being, according to the number of beings. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less, depending on how many people you had. And they measured it by an omer. And he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. There was something amazing about even after they had it. It would do stuff. Each one together according to his need. And Moshe said, let no one leave any of it until morning. Now, when you grew up when you didn't have a whole lot, you saved stuff. You didn't throw it away. Right? If you had a half a biscuit left, you wrapped it up in a cloth. I can't tell you how many half biscuits I seen my grandma unroll the next morning. You know why? It didn't mean nothing to me. But she need the flour. We're going to eat all the biscuits. She put it away. Today, you get a can, pop. You know? They don't eat them, chunk them in a trash can. Who cares? Let Pillsbury need a flour. It didn't mean much. Now, these people were hungry, so they had a tendency to lean on their own efforts. He said, don't leave none. You eat it up and the rest is discarded. I need you to know that Yah is going to reign again. Do you understand that? That's what we got to get. When he's going to do it, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do tomorrow. He's got tomorrow. You just got to do what he said to do today. That's important. So, and they did not listen to Moshe. Imagine that. I feel like Moshe sometimes. Let me go over here. I got one on my side. They did not listen to Moshe. How many of you know that's important? You got to listen. Yeah. They did not listen to Moshe, so some of them left part until morning. Well, you can't fool God. So some of them left part until morning, and it bred worms. Now, how many would just love to get up in the morning and get ready for breakfast, and you open up and you got worms in your bread? Some of you ladies would go, ooh, you think you got the spirit on you. You give a shun die and out the door. But you don't like worms, but it had bred worms. Because y'all didn't say to do that. You have to ask yourself, how many things in your life is breeding worms? Let me go on. I'm on a Shabbat service here. And it stank. You know, when you get around folks that stink, you don't want to stick around. You go. You slide over, right? You have to ask yourself, what type of aroma are you putting out? And Is it full of worms? It'll be up to us. Up to us. And now watch this. And Moshe was wroth with them. He was angry. What have you done? Can you listen to instructions? Can you even listen to the instructions? Simple instructions. And they gathered it every morning, each one according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. It was gone. So imagine it like a frost. But then you could take it and you can make bread with it. It's amazing stuff. It's a miracle. And it came to be, here we go, on the sixth day. Everybody say sixth day.
Sixth day.
On the sixth day. That they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. How many before? One omer for one person. So the gatherer would go out. Maybe it's, say it's the guy goes out and he counts his family. He says, I got five of us. Five of us. How many omers is he going to take? Five. On the sixth day, he's got five of them. How many omers is he going to take? Ten. Wow. Ten. Let me ask this before I get to it. Who here is ready for God to give you the six-day miracle?
Hallelujah.
Who wants that?
Yes,
the six-day miracle. Who wants that? It'll be yours. It's the favor God will give you. Watch this. This is what Yah said. Tomorrow, now this is what he's talking to me. He's going to tell him something. He says tomorrow means the what? Is the seventh day. If it's the sixth day and we're talking about tomorrow, what is that? The seventh day. He said, tomorrow is a rest, a Sabbath set apart to Yah. Is it important? Is it important? It's a rest day, a Sabbath set apart to Yah. That which you bake, bake it, bake, and that which you cook, cook. And lay it up for yourselves, all that is left over, to keep it until morning. Well, we can't do that. We tried doing that on Monday. We tried that. And it had worms in it, and it stank. Whole house was smelled up. Guy comes in and says, honey, today you just put some aside, and there's going to be an argument right there. She said, I just got that stink out of this house. Worms everywhere. I just got it out. Now you telling me? But today, the sixth day. You think God wants you to listen to him?
Yes.
The sixth day is a special day.
Yeah.
On the sixth day, he said, you keep two portions for each person. And you cook what you're going to cook that day. You bake what you're going to bake that day. And there won't be no worms in it. There'll be no stink in it. He was trying to tell them, you're not in control of this. I'm in control of this. I'm trying to take care of your life. If you follow my instructions, guard my commands, I'm going to take care of your life. You see the lessons in here? Full of lessons. Can we use some of these lessons? Yes, we can. That which you bake, bake, that which you cook, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over until morning. And they laid it up till morning as Moshe commanded, and did not stink. Wow. And no worms was in it. Everybody say wow. So wow, you got to say wow at those moments. Wow. There you go. And Moshe said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yah. When they get it. When did they get the provision for the seventh day? On the sixth day, they got twice as much. How many ready for that day to start happening in your life?
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. And Moshe said, eat it today, for it's a Sabbath to Yah. Today, today you do not find it in the field. Do not find it in the field. Gather it 6 days. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there is none. And it came to be that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. I'm not sure about these folks, but they went together. But they found none. What did they go for? Together. They went together, but they found none. And Yah said to Moshe, how long shall you refuse? Now, he's going to tell them what they did. What will you refuse to guard my commands and my Torah? Now, the Torah, again, when you see Torah, O-T. O-T, whether we're saying Sukkot, means weeks, more than one. Torah. Torah's, he says, all my commands. Not one of them, all of them. How long are you not going to? It's because it's in the, he's trying to tell us it's not in the singular, it's in the plural. My Torah. He emphasized, there was emphasis. Anytime you see that, and there's not many times, he's emphasizing, you have to understand this. So he's emphasizing it for us today. See, because Yah has given you the Sabbath. Who gave it? Yah. Therefore, he has given you bread for 2 days in on the sixth day. Let each one stay in his place. Do not let anyone go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Here's several weeks before giving Moses the commandments at Mount Sinai. Yahweh said to Israel, the Israelites were refusing to keep his commandments and laws. He also said, Yahweh has given you the Sabbath. He didn't say he's given you or will give you. He had already given them the Sabbath, meaning we got to take it from Genesis 2. Does that make sense to everybody? He'd already given it to them because what he did in creation was for all of humanity. He didn't make up the commandments at the time he gave them. He already had them in play. To be observed every seventh day. When Yahweh, through Moses, commanded Israel, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He pointed them back to the original creation week. That was the whole point in putting that in there so we can see this goes deep. Means a lot to God. It goes real deep. Sabbath set apart. In the book of Genesis, we read of Yahweh creating the earth, then filling it with plants and animals and forming it into a dazzling, beautiful home for the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Here we read of the original, the origin of the Sabbath. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all which he had made. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed. That's what he says in Genesis 2:1. In all their array, and the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and Elohim blessed the seventh day, set it apart, because on it he rested from all his work which Elohim in creating had made. It's wonderful. Genesis 2, 1 and 1 through 3. This day was different from the other days of creation week. Yahweh blessed the seventh day. What did he do? He blessed it. It's different. We don't find him blessing on the other days, but he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. We don't find the other days sanctified. They're special, but he didn't sanctify them or bless them. The word sanctified means to set apart as what? Holy. Yahweh specifically set apart the seventh day as holy. We read three times in two verses that Yahweh did not work on this day. The emphasis is that this was his day of rest. It was Yahweh's Sabbath rest. Some people dispute this interpretation, saying this was not the origin of the commanded day of rest. Nothing that the Sabbath isn't mentioned here. However, the Hebrew word translated rest is Shabbat. Which is the root word for Sabbath. Shabbat means to cease or rest, and it is from this that the Sabbath gets its meaning as a day of rest. To paraphrase the account in Genesis 2, Elohim Sabbathed. He rested on the seventh day from all his work. The Hebrew language is clear and unambiguous in its intent. No ambiguity there. None whatsoever. When is the Sabbath to be kept? Remember we was asking all these questions earlier? We're just going over them. Our convention of starting a new day at midnight is an arbitrary, humanely devised practice. Yahweh, who created the heavenly bodies and set them in motion to mark the passage of time. Genesis 1:14. And Elohim said, "Let lights come to be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for appointed times, for days and years, and count times." So this is that beginning in Genesis 1:14. Differently from evening to evening. We see this indicate in the creation account in Genesis 1. After dividing the day from the night, Yahweh tells us that there was evening and there was morning the first day, verse 5. Evening is mentioned first, followed by the morning. Yahweh describes each day's creation in similar terms, verse 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. In the Bible, evening begins when the sun went down, Joshua 8:29 tells us, and he hanged the sovereign of Ai on a tree, talking about the king that he took, until evening. And at sunset, Yehoshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree and throw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raise it a great heap of stone to this day. 2 Chronicles 18:34. And these are just proof texts because we made a comment. The comment was we have arbitrarily counted our days as it changed in history. That was never the intention of God. And he didn't change it because we changed it. In Chronicles 18:34. But the battle increased that day, and the sovereign of Israel was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans until evening, and he died at the time of the going down of the sun. Nehemiah 13:19, and he came to be when the gates of Jerusalem were shaded before the Sabbath, that I commanded the doors to be shut and commanded that they should not be open till after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gate, so that no burden would be brought in on the Sabbath day. So there's no indication that there's been any change. The Sabbath starts in the evening, because that's what we arbitrarily use our calendars. So it's an evening event. We think it's, well, why do we have Shabbat on Friday? Well, Saturday starts the evening of that Friday, and it don't end until midnight for us. So just if you're wondering, we gave the proof text for that. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And when evening came, when the sun had set, I mean, see, that's all through Scripture. They brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And at that time, a new day began. That's pretty simple for me. That's pretty simple. And this translation is absolutely amazing because it's real easy, basic English, which we're used to. We're not used to the high English that we use in King James Bible. We did it. I'm familiar with it because it's all I studied, but it's hard for some folks. They get lost in the D's and thou's and in all of the poetry and stuff. Regarding his Sabbath, Yahweh commanded that they be observed from evening to evening. Leviticus 23:32. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your being on the ninth day of the new moon at evening. From evening to evening, you observe your Sabbath. Now, that afflict your being is a little catchy there, because you'll read afflict your being dealing with some of the feast days, and you'll apply that directly to the Sabbath and say Sabbath's a fast, and you'd be completely wrong. completely wrong. And you say, well, I have an argument. Well, you do have an argument, but it's a very, very weak argument. And you get used to that once you start really being a student of the Bible. Afflict your being means you're going to do stuff different than you used to doing for 6 days. That'll afflict you. How many get that? That's as simple as I can tell you. You're used to 6 days of labor. You're going to do something different. The guy that don't work a whole lot, that probably wouldn't bother him too bad. But a guy that is used to working, he's a workaholic, and he says, man, it's a beautiful day. Sun's shining. We need to cut hay. It's time to cut hay. Oh, the fish are biting. It's going to be tough. That's afflicting his being. He's got to get it under subjection and gather his 6-day catch and trust Yah that Yah protect it while he's keeping Shabbat. Does that make sense? This was an unusual way at that time of calculating beginning and ending of days. In Exodus 12:18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the new moon, in the evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the new moon in the evening. See, and he's just talking about that. How many know we read this every Passover? It's wonderful. Now you see how it all makes sense. In the New Testament times, days were calculated the same way. Mark 1:32 records that after the sun had set, marked the end of the Sabbath, the crowds brought many ailing people to Yeshua, and he healed them. And we read that earlier, and those that were possessed. And he talks about this new day starts that evening. It's another day. The gospel account also records that Joseph of Arimathea entombed Yeshua's body before evening to keep from working on the approaching annual Sabbath. Matthew 27, verse 57 through 61. And when evening came, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a taught one of Yeshua. And he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Yeshua. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given. Verse 59, and having taken the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen, laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewed out of a rock, and he rolled the large stone against the door of the tomb and went away. And Miriam from Magdala was there, and the other Miriam sitting opposite the tomb. In 1542, and when the evening had come, because it was the preparation day. What's the preparation day? Somebody tell me. What's the preparation day? That's right. Now, if you ever wondered about what the preparation day, because we took a little time this morning and got a little history of Scripture, we can answer what's the preparation day easy. It's the 6th day. It was preparation day. That is the day before Sabbath. Day before Sabbath is what? The 6th day. The 6th day. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the reign of Elohim, came boldly, went to Pilate, and asked for the body of Yeshua. But Pilate wondered whether he was already dead, so summoned the captains. He asked him if he was already dead. And when he had learned this from the captain, he gave the body to Joseph. And he, having brought the fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb, which he had been hewed out of a rock, and rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. And Miriam from Magdala, and Miriam the mother of Joseph, saw there was where he was laid. In Luke 23's account, and see a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and righteous man. He was not agreeing with their counsel and deeds from Arimathea, a city of the Yehudim, who himself was also waiting for the reign of Elohim. He going to Pilate, asked for the body of Yeshua, taking it down. He wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb, hewed out of rocks where no one yet laid. And it was preparation day. And the Sabbath was approaching. This is all important. Again, let me finish reading and I'll give my comment. The woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And having turned, they prepared spices and perfumes. They rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Let me just tell you this. It seems repetitive, right? But when you study, you got to read all the accounts. You get lazy, you'll read one, so I already know they all say the same. That's not a good habit. When you study, if you're going to study, you read them all. It takes time. It sounds repetitive. I know you're hearing it. You're hearing it. Listen, I'm reading this for this, I don't know how many times. Counting out 3 times, 10 times. 10 times I've read through this first lesson. It's how you learn. It's how you get it. It's how it stays in you. It don't leave you. It's a part of you. You got to give the time if you're going to obey his commands. And I know I'm reading this, and I can use a sense, well, we just read that. We read what Mark said. Remember, you got to do it. It's you're being a good steward of the word of God, a good Berean. Yahweh created a Sabbath and determined when it begins and ends, and it was observed from sunset to sunset throughout the Bible. His Sabbath begins Friday evening at sunset and then Saturday evening at sunset. The Sabbath made for humankind. What page are we on? Okay, we're not going no further. We can't get through it. So it is what it is. So now you got to finish this and we'll catch what goes. It's just the introduction went a lot longer than I thought it would. So has anybody enjoying this? Because this is what we're going to do till we finish it. We're going to go through every part of it, every page we're going to cover. That way you're well-versed in it. If you need somebody questions you, you're going to say, well, let me tell you something. Then don't tell them, read this. You know what they're going to tell you? I ain't reading that. You know why they won't read it? Because they won't read this. So they're definitely not reading your handout. If you got their conversation with them and you're talking, you got to tell them. You got to tell them, explain it to them the way you see it. Because if you don't see it, well, you can explain it enough, you don't see it. Amen. Well, anybody here need prayer for anything? Sister Felicia? Okay. It's two friends, right?
Yeah, different.
Anybody else? Sister? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Who's that?
Damon.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, well, let's stand. Let's stand together. We're going to give God praise. We're going to give him glory. We're going to go before him about these needs that were mentioned and thank him because he's the healer. I've been trusting God. The Lord, I don't know.